Well, this is Pastor Dan, and I'm with Pastor Ben today, and this is another episode of Life Talks, but today's a special one. It's a unique one because we're going closed circuit today to the folks who call Life Fellowship home. So if you're not a regular Life Fellowship attender, we want you to go ahead and listen so you'll learn a little bit about our church. But our topic today is to talk a little bit about where we've come as a church and where we're headed for the rest of this year.
Yeah, and I think that it's always good to communicate with the body, wins we have, challenges that we're facing in the future, and really how we want to finish strong for the rest of this year. You know, we go every year has these rhythms and cycles, and whenever you come out of summer, you know, there people are going in a million different directions, and school has started, and it's just good to come back again together and say, don't forget, this is what we've set out to do, and last 4 months, let's make them count for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think from time to time, it's like re-engaging the clutch on an old-fashioned vehicle or whatever, but where, you know, it propels you forward, and it helps you to remember the direction that you're going. Yeah. So we're going to talk, we're going to basically do this probably over a couple of episodes of Life Talks, but let's start off by talking about some of the things we emphasized at the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about where we've come on those and some of the wins we've experienced.
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing we talked about, Dan, 8 months ago when we cast vision back in January was really transitioning from a collecting church to a sending church. And, you know, if you remember, we use this analogy of between the gas station and the locker room. And this idea that a gas station church is filled with people who are just, they're coming there to get their needs met. They're coming there just to fill up their own life, just like we would be dedicated to a gas station. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go to where the gas is cheapest and the most convenience and maybe the best ice cream cones, who knows? But many times people view church that way. They go to a church because, oh, this has a better version of music, better teaching, better children's. But there's real no commitment to the mission of God in the body of Christ. And, you know, we just got done with a series on commitment to the local church that I recorded with my friend Chris last week. And so I think that for a lot of us, we have to remember we don't want to view the church as a gas station where it's just a product to be consumed for ourselves, but that we're truly looking at it like a locker room. What I mean by that is when a football team goes into the locker room at halftime, it's a time to reassess and to strategize and say, how are we going to go out into the field this week and win? How are we going to go out and accomplish the task that God has for us? And so what we want to do is when we gather together, we want it to be a reassessment and casting vision for this is how we want to be representatives of Jesus in our community Monday through Saturday. So we shared that vision and through that, understanding that we are sent, and we talked about the 110-1 initiative, and man, I'm just so pumped that what we have seen this year. Part of this was 100. The 100 is 100% of us going out every single person every single day, going out and representing Jesus and telling people about Jesus. And from that, we had the One Life initiative, and right now we have I think close to 350 people that have committed to the One Life initiative this year. And
for those who may be new, what the One Life Initiative is?
Yeah, it's committing to praying for, investing in a relationship with one person that's close to you, far from God. So this idea it's intentional, purposeful relationship building and gospel sharing relationship. And so to have you know close to 350 people commit to that is phenomenal for the first year that we've done it. And to me, it's a way that we've moved the needle to make our church more aware of the lostness in Lake Norman. The 10 represents the 10% that will go out and plant another congregation. And when we, again, these are all numbers we want to get to. We're not there yet, but we have a good, strong core team with our Life Mooresville plant, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then the 1 is the 1% that won't just leave our church congregation, but we'll leave our context to go into missions. And, you know, I think about this, Dan, over the 2 out of the next 3 Sundays, we will be commissioning young people who are going out for about 3 months to share, you know, on a missions gap year type of thing. So we're seeing God answer this right before our eyes.
Yeah, and we've actually even put on one of a missionary who was here for a while and then moved back home to Pennsylvania and is now moving to Indianapolis, Indiana, to work at a university there solely for starting campus ministry.
Yeah.
So we're seeing our young people do it. We're seeing internships. We're seeing 6 weeks to 6 months on missions field,
yep.
And we're starting to see people do this vocationally.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
And one of the things that we always see, I think this kind of sending initiative, this idea of being aware of the harvest and aware of the needs of the lostness in our community, what's been so cool, Dan, is to see the numbers of baptisms and salvations this year go up precipitously.
Great.
And we have seen about 24 salvations this year and about 24 baptisms in our church, which, from what I know, it's about the baptism more than doubles what we had of all last year. So, I mean, we're only 8 months in. And to see that kind of fruit for the first year of this initiative has been really encouraging.
That is exciting. And we've got 2 more baptism services scheduled before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that number is going to increase. Well, one of the others was disciple making.
Yeah.
And I know we've got an event coming up and so forth, but tell us a little bit about, you know, the strategic plan for disciple making.
Yeah, I think obviously, we have a lot of different ways in which we do that. One of the best things I think we've seen, especially in our small groups, is this transition to bands. And if you're part of our life group ministry, you know that when you're part of that, they break up into groups of 2 and 3, and they have seen incredible growth, incredible stories of people, life change. In those bands, of getting groups, a small, intimate group of 2 to 3 to really dig down deep and sharing struggles and overcoming sin. And to me, that's been, we've heard a lot of stories from that. So we've seen that in the regular day-to-day, week-to-week relationship building within that, what we talk about living in community, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even more so on a big picture, Dan, we got to see 4 men in our church take the stage this year and preach God's word to God's people, the voices of the congregation. So we're seeing from the top level just, you know, guys growing in their giftedness from the congregation, being able to preach God's word to God's people, to the regular, ordinary people overcoming sin, dealing with sin issues. And so we're seeing God transform our church into his image. And so those are some huge wins we're seeing.
Yeah, and one other area of that we're currently working on with the elders, and Ben and I are working on this in tandem as well with some of our staff pastors, is this idea of developing leadership through intentional discipleship. And we're not ready to unveil all of what's going on, but we are developing a strategic plan to help plan for future elders, future people going into vocational ministry, people who are wanting to grow deeper in the word, people who are wanting to, as lay people, make maximum impact with the leadership skills and spiritual gifts that they have.
Yeah.
So we're developing that process as well right
now
behind the scenes, and we've already identified and approached several people who are going to be part of that as well.
Yeah.
So that's gaining momentum, and that's exciting. Well, one of the other areas, an area that kind of falls under my part of our leadership team, is our strategic missions focus. And let me just tell you, this has been a banner year in missions. And there's almost too much information to share without taking more than my part of the time. But let me just give you just kind of a little bit of an overview. You know, in the beginning of the year, we started with an initiative of grace giving that is above and beyond. We call it the Above and Beyond Missions Giving. And since that has happened, we're collecting over $5,000 a month above our missions giving that we make as part of our budget
That's
to be able
amazing.
To invest in missions. In April, we did a partnership with A Cause for Tea for the Soxhom Ministry in Nicaragua and the Help Pregnancy Center and raised $6,500 for that. In May, we purchased pigs for pastors in Thailand.
Or pigs for pastors.
Yeah, and raised over $5,000 for that. In June, we raised $12,000 in gifts and donations for a Life's Care missions trailer project that we're getting ready to launch out. We've got 2 projects lined up, and we may need to send it out right away because we've got a hurricane barreling down on the west or east coast of Florida, and we may need to send a team down there after that hits. July, we had just kind of a spontaneous one-week thing where we supplied cases of shaving cream to the Charlotte Rescue Mission. In July, we raised $10,500 for Bibles in Myanmar.
Wow.
And the cool thing is there's a brand new translation that has been put out in a specific dialect that they wrote us as we were finishing up this and said, can you help with that? And so, in fact, not only are we putting these Bibles out, but it's in a new translation of a dialect that previously didn't have the scripture in their particular language.
Wow.
In August, we exceeded our goal of over $5,000, and that money's still coming in to help with the cause for tea in New Life, Nicaragua. In September, we're having our Rise Against Hunger meal packing event. We're going to be raising $5,000 to be able to pack 15,000 meals to be distributed by missionaries in areas where people are hungry. We've got a Cuba missions trip interest meeting that's going to be held next Sunday, September 8th, that is going to be important. We've got a Myanmar missions trip for 2020 that we're getting ready to have an interest meeting on. We're forming a missions team that is going to be led by leaders from Life Fellowship. Carolyn Kozlowski, who is our missions coordinator, is going to be working with that. We've got an item in the budget for life groups who want to do missions projects. They can apply for a grant that will fund the project they're wanting to do as a life group. I could go on and on and on. We've already got our missions emphasis scheduled for 2020, so a lot of great things. Plus, we've had a team to Germany. We've got another team going in Germany in just a few weeks. We've had teams in Cuba, and we've just got a lot of great things going on. So that's moving forward.
Yeah. And I love this year, the fact that we spent those three Sundays that Ignite, because I think what it did, Dan, this past year was really awaken people to all the work that life does, you know, to understand that being a sending church doesn't just mean, hey, we're going out and sending people. But when people give to this church, the resources we go and equip for the nations for taking the gospel to the nations is unbelievable. And that, for me, because I'm fairly new to the church, I've been here for about a year and a half, and to see all the impact that we have across the world was just so mind-blowing to me. And I just love it. It was great.
One of the things I hope that we will all realize is that literally the sun never goes down on the ministry of Life Fellowship Church.
Yeah.
That around the world, someone who is part of our team, whether they used to be in church here or somebody we partner with or support or some project we've got going on, 24 hours a day, every day of the year, something's happening because of what God's doing at Life Fellowship.
So the other big thing, Dan, that happened this year is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We announced that we were going to start a podcast, and believe it or not, 8 months later, people are still listening to us.
They're still listening to us, and it's growing. We're getting tens of thousands now of downloads on these little conversations that you and I have. And you know what? I've got to tell you, even if nobody listened to them, I just have a great time doing it with you.
Yeah, I do too.
But the fact that people are listening every week, you and I both get people who text us or call us or email us or stop us and say, hey, you said this last week or you said this a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And even some of them we recorded early on in January, because we have, I believe now we have over 100 episodes up.
Right.
That people are listening to the old ones as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so I think that's, again, this is when you think about long-term discipleship, investing in people, we realize that there's so many opportunities we have to teach God's word or to share biblical worldview. And so these little 20-minute episodes, Dan, are so vital for us. If people continue to walk in this and receive the instruction and receive that God's word in these little tiny ways, think about the impact and the growth that our church is going, where we will be 3 years, 4 years, five years down the road. It's just kind of one of those small things that you do that I believe really makes it. We're not going to see the real powerful impact probably for another couple of years, but it's happening. And that's what's so encouraging about it.
Yeah, and that's where we also want to encourage our listeners and folks who are part of Life Fellowship or outside of our community to share it on social media. If you got an episode that resonates with you, I know there's been some on parenting, there's been some on missions, there's been some on worship, there's been some on counseling, that there's been some on politics that people have shared quite a bit and spread on. So I hope that, you know, we've got some plans for this that, you know, we're going to be bringing in some guests via telephone and other things that are going to be pretty exciting in the coming year.
Yeah.
But beyond that, we said we were going to tap in to the technology now, because people used to come to church 3, 4, 5 times a week to get teaching and preaching. Today, they're doing that via technology. So we've unleashed a new one. Tell us about that one.
Well, we also, as of this month, are now live streaming our services.
Both of them now.
Both of them now. Yeah. So it's super exciting to see God has burdened some of our people to give to this above and beyond. And now we have the capabilities of live streaming our services, which is so amazing. And I think about the one a woman in our church who's going through a battle of cancer. Remember mm-hmm. that we met with her in the hospital a few weeks ago, Dan, and she was just telling us how she was in the hospital receiving treatment, receiving care on a Sunday morning. Because she couldn't be there, she was live streaming the services on her little device. I can't remember if it was an iPad or a computer. And the doctor comes in and he's checking in on her and he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, I'm going to church this morning with my church family."
Yeah.
And to see what God is with the technology we have when people are traveling. I got an email from or a text from one of our people who was on vacation a couple weeks ago. And they said, "Man, just to know we could get up on a Sunday morning on vacation and still be a part of our church family." It was so amazing. So we're hearing these kinds of things, and not just that, people are going to be discovering who we are, because this is what studies say. Most people now will, before they enter the doors of a church, will watch a church online really to find out what's going on in there, because church has become not the norm for most people. Mm-hmm. And so by this, it's not just helping our church body to stay connected with us when they're traveling or when they're sick, but it's also a front door for many families in the Lake Norman area who are saying, "Hey, what is this church all about?" And they get a chance to see who we are, you know, from a distance. But again, we're inviting them into this church environment.
Yeah, and I hope people recognize that for the tool that it is. We don't want people staying home to watch church, but we do want right. people to be introduced to our church while they're at home.
Yes.
And one of the things we're asking all of our friends to do is, you can even do this on your, you know, while you're waiting for the service to start. You can do this, while you're in the lobby on Sunday morning. But share our feed from our Facebook church feed to your personal feed. I did this a couple of weeks ago just as we were getting started. So, and I've got friends from all over the world. So I just shared the service on my Facebook feed right before a service started. And then I watched as people were connecting in. We had someone from Vietnam watching. We had someone from Miami watching. We had someone from Georgia watching. We had someone from Eastern North Carolina watching. We had someone from Virginia watching. And when they came on, I recognized they were my Facebook friends. And so they were literally around the world. They were watching and around the country because I shared it on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And so you can do that, and that's a way to be a part of sharing the gospel, sharing what's going on at Life Fellowship with your friends and neighbors, even while you're sitting in church. So I hope you'll do that. And I want to just kind of acknowledge that the podcast and the studio and the live stream capability are all because people in our church had a passion for that and wrote checks
yes.
to do that.
Yes.
And to those people, I know they listen to this. I want to say thank you for letting the Lord move you and inspire you to make this possible, because they underwrote it.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that we've talked about a little bit has been the One Life campaign. Tell us a little bit more about.
Well, I mean, again, the One Life campaign is the asking people, one person close to you, far from God, and the fact that we had over 300 close to 350 people accept that challenge. That was such a huge burden for us. And Dan, here's the thing: we're going to keep doing this.
Yes.
We're not going to move on from this. This is something we want to be a natural, normal part of our church body. Because what we're saying is we want at least every single person that calls Life Fellowship their church home. We want to be able to say every person has somebody that they are intentionally building a relationship with that they are reaching out to. Because we are not here just to consume spiritual goods. Yeah. We are here, placed on this earth, to be ambassadors for Christ. And so we hope that this One Life initiative continues to grow. We are the bands. It's great. And it's not too late to join the One Life initiative. If you have one person that's close to you, far from God, that you're personally investing and praying for, you can join that initiative. And so just because you didn't sign up in January doesn't mean you don't have to, or you can still do it today. So
absolutely,
I encourage people to do that.
And not just this year, every year.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about family integration and generational approach to ministry. Mm. We've seen great strides in that. I am just so blessed, Ben, when I walk through the church on Sundays to see how many of our young people are serving.
Yeah.
I see them in kid life. I see older people helping in student life.
Mm-hmm.
I see ushers who are in high school.
Right.
I see members of our praise team band who are teenagers.
Yes.
I open the door and look in the technology room and I see young people serving in there. I've seen them behind the counter in the cafe. I see them at the doors helping people. And that's a sign of great health and great progress. If we want our church to be truly multi-generational, then we're going to see more and more of the integration of the family and of the generations across the church.
Yeah. And I'm telling you what, just I took my kids to youth, you know, the student life this past Sunday,
which we moved on purpose to Sunday night.
And man, it was slammed. It was awesome to see how many kids were there, and Pastor Justin's doing a great job with them. And so it's just been so awesome to see the response of our families, the response of the students, and it's been a good, healthy thing for our church.
Right. By having our young people meet on Sunday nights, they come back and they have the big youth rally and worship and training and teaching. It allows them to be free to serve on Sunday mornings, and that's been a great addition. Well, and then finally, you know, one of the big things that we announced was we moved from addition to multiplication, and part of that is planting churches. And I know this last weekend was a huge weekend toward that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and so I shared this a little bit with everyone this previous couple Sundays ago, but, you know, we went out there into the harvest field. And one of the things that we knew, Dan, was we didn't want to just launch with a Sunday morning service. We wanted to launch with intentionality between going into the mission field of Mooresville and those 70,000 people who are far from God, right? We wanted to reach those people first. We didn't want to, if you start with a church service to launch a church, what you end up gathering is people who are already interested in church. And so what we knew is that if we were going to reach the lost people, it required us to do something different. And it's been cool to see, you know, when I came here a year and a half ago to be the pastor of multiplication, we knew this was the process we wanted. Things were still a little fuzzy. We just knew where we wanted to start. And as the year and a half has progressed from when I first came here to where we are now, here's what's been so amazing. God has orchestrated to bring people that have done this before. For example, the Timothy Initiative, one of the great missions wins that we've had this year, they do this all around the world. And the way that we're planting Life Mooresville is the predominant way that we're seeing churches planted and multiplied all around the world. The reality is America is not doing it. And so what we're doing is we're taking a model, and it's not just about a model. It's really about a belief system of discipleship, and we are practicing it. And man, I'll tell you what, we got a chance to interact with about 200 people, knocked on about 200 doors. About 100 people responded positively to receiving prayer and to wanting to hear a story about Jesus. And then we have a couple dozen people are interested in coming back and having a discipleship relationship to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. And then we had 4 people accept Christ as their Lord and Savior in one weekend. And so, I mean, like, we see the potential of what God is going to do. And we just sense, man, God is up to something big. You know, it's one of those few times, Dan, where the Word of God came alive to us, because, you know, we read about this in Matthew 9 when he says the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are few. And I think for so many of us that live in the world and we go into these environments where we feel like Christianity is shrinking and secularism is increasing. But when you approach people the way Jesus approached people, and when you do see the harvest the way Jesus saw harvest, and you have compassion the way Jesus had compassion, man, what that showed me this weekend is the harvest truly is plentiful. The problem that I think we have is we think, well, people aren't interested in church anymore. And by and large, you know what? You're kind of right. The younger generation is not as interested in church, but you know what they are interested in? Good news. And so when we start with good news and you start with Jesus and you start caring for people and loving people, you'd be amazed at what you see. And so we just saw for the very first, you know, we're entering phase 2 of the church plant. Phase 1 was helping people be aware, learning how to share their faith, owning their own faith, practicing that. Phase 2 has been, let's start meeting, you know, creating these groups in homes to disciple people and start gathering people. We want to start seeing multiplication at the ground level before we start gathering them on a Sunday service. So it's all intentional from the people that God's brought us to the actual step stepping out on faith, we've just seen God do some really cool things with Life in Mooresville, and I can't wait to see what he's going to continue to do.
That is exciting, and I think it's really important for people to understand that the way that we're going about this multiplication process of another church is not the model that so many people expect it to be, where you take 50 people and you move them to a new site and they start meeting. But rather than rearranging people from one church, Church A to Church B, we are wanting to fill this church with brand new followers of Christ.
Yes.
And so that is genuine multiplication. Yeah. It's genuine addition to the kingdom. This is what we're wanting.
It's the if the point of church planting is a decrease in lostness, that's what we're going for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's been our recap of where we've accomplished. Stay tuned for next episode, because we're going to be talking about some of the challenges we're facing. Because let's be honest, there's always challenges. You don't make progress without creating challenges. So we're going to talk about some of the challenges. And then we're going to talk about some of the things that will be finishing up this year as we continue to unfold the vision and pursue the mission and strategy that God has placed into the DNA, into the heart of Life Fellowship. So thank you for listening. And until next time, this has been Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.